Sylvia Tausch begins. Now, we will get to the romantic travails and entanglements of one Riley Yauch a little bit later this hour.
There's some bad news. I've known about this, but the news is reported now that Wisconsin's potential starting left tackle is going to be out for the 2025 season. Kevin Haywood, who's been doing some really good things, and it's a tough blow for Wisconsin, and that's that was reported today. So tore his ACL. He's going to be down for the 2025 season.
In spring ball, Kevin Haywood did this?
Yes.
Mm. Ugh. That's not what you're looking for in the spring.
No, it is not positive. No, not good.
All right, on that cheery note, we will get to Riley's dating situation, which probably also is similarly depressing, I'm guessing, based on his initial reaction when we inquired about it at the beginning of the show. But before that, you mentioned Matt Miller, who is one of the draft gurus for ESPN, who joined Jim, Matt, and Molly yesterday. And you thought that our guy Mel Kiper, ESPN, bearish on the Badgers' prospects.
I thought he was bullish on Jack Nelson, and I did not.
Not
he didn't
so
even
much
mention
on Hunter
Huber.
Bowler.
And then he was not very bullish on Hunter Waller. That's how I took what his evaluation was.
But you caught Matt Miller on Jim, Matt, and Molly, and you felt that he was more encouraging.
Yeah, I saw the clip
about them.
Jim, Matt, and Molly put their clip out, and I saw that on Twitter last night. And they have Jack Nelson potentially going third round, and Hunter Waller right there with him. And you never know, right, how different teams evaluate different players.
Mm-hmm.
I know this. Hunter Waller was put through a lot of different staffs. He was put through a lot of different things, and he was the undoubted leader of that team for two seasons. He was somebody that performed at a very high level, especially two seasons ago. I think last season he was beat up a little bit, but he is a really good football player. Everybody has, you talk to anybody over at Camp Randall, and there's going to be rave reviews about the dude that he is. And I think for Jack Nelson, he grew a lot of growth from his junior fourth year to his fifth year.
Okay.
The tackle class is down a little bit. I don't know if he's going to end up playing guard. I don't know if he's going to play tackle. I don't know all that. But he is a tough dude, too. And I think Huber is also. I thought he played a lot of really good football. So I thought Miller's evaluations were more in line with what I was anticipating than what Mel Kiper's were.
Well, Riley, you've got the audio. Let's hear what Matt Miller had to say about the Badgers' prospects.
I would say all three definitely get drafted. I would expect there. Jack Nelson, I think, has a shot at the third round because the tackle class is not great after the first round. There's a drop-off. That could be really good news for him. I'm a Joe Huber fan. I think his versatility along the interior of the offensive line is going to be valuable. But I am a huge Hunter Waller fan. Any safety who hits like that, I'm going to be a fan of you. I'm with you. He has a shot. I would think late third, early fourth round is where I would expect his name to be called. Selfishly, I hope he's drafted in the fourth round so I can talk about him when he gets picked. Yeah. But for his sake, I hope he's long gone before I get on the desk.
So, I am looking at The Beast from Dane Brugler, who does a phenomenal job.
That's your guy, right? You love Brugler?
I'm a big Brugler guy. I don't know where Mel had Hunter Waller. I can't remember. What did he say? Day
late,
three.
Late pick.
So Matt has him going third round or fourth round. He selfishly wants him to go in the fourth round so he can talk about him because he's on day three of ESPN's telecast. Hunter Waller, according to Dane Brugler, who is the new Joel Buxbaum, the guy who kind of revolutionized draft nicking along with Mel Kiper, He's got Hunter Waller as the 14th safety and going in the fifth round of the draft, which lots of good football players are drafted in the fifth round.
Certainly.
And Mel Kiper mentioned when he was with us, he made the comparison, even though I don't think they're similar players necessarily, but he brought up Jimmy Leonard, who had a decade plus in the NFL as a guy that was underestimated again and again and again coming out of Wisconsin and, frankly, going to Wisconsin. So, I don't know. Hunter Waller feels to me, Tausch, like one of those guys that I'm never going to underestimate him. I don't know how realistic it is to think he's going to be an NFL starter someday, but again, not going to underestimate him. You know him far better than me. Do you believe that Matt Miller, without using your bias of liking the kid, is going to be proven right with Hunter Waller going earlier than expected?
I don't know if he'll go earlier than Matt has him. I think he's going to go earlier than Mel had him. And I do believe that once he gets in a locker room, coaches are going to absolutely love him. He is going to immediately be a special teams big-time player for you, and he will find a way on the field. And once he finds a way on the field, they're going to have a hard time getting him off the field. So in that case, you could say he's like a Jimmy Leonard. He is a much more gifted athlete than Jimmy Leonard, or at least physically. He's in a better spot. Jimmy was a little shorter. Jimmy was a great punt returner. Jimmy was an instinctive player. I think Hunter Waller.
Jimmy makes the shot.
I think Hunter is going to be in a better spot physically to match up with some things. But he is. That's just, I think that's the way that's going to go. And as far as the O-linemen go, I think both guys will carve out really nice careers. I think Huber is very underrated. And I think Jack has been somebody that has been through the tests. He's put himself out there, and I hope that he is drafted as high as possible because, again, I don't know if he'll play outside. I don't know if he'll play right tackle. I don't know all of that. But I do know he is a tough son of a gun, and he cares deeply about what he's, you know, how he approaches the game. That I do know.
All right. My draft preview series is up to the running backs on day two here at channel3000.com. I have something I want to get to with Tausch on that. We'll talk about that coming up, and then we'll get to Riley's love life.
I'm glad we're going to talk about that because I am more and more inclined to think Green Bay's making a move this year in that category.
The running back very category.
Important. Yes.
Yes. Ooh. Tausch will explain his thought process after I tell you about what's going on right now on Bucks Plus. It's Behind the Bucks, and it's Dame time for Season 4 of the Behind the Bucks podcast, presented by Gallagher. Explore Bucks superstar Damian Lillard's unlikely journey from a two-star high school prospect to a top 75 player in NBA history, and hopefully his journey to being back on the floor for the playoffs when they begin. The series, narrated by senior NBA insider Chris Haynes, reveals exclusive details of Dame's trade to the Bucks and his experience with the team. You can find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Talk a little draft and the running back situation for the Packers next. It's Wilde and Tausch. So at Channel 3000, we're up to the running backs in our Packers draft preview series. And we tackle the idea that the running back is back. Saquon Barkley goes to his new team, rushes for 2,000 yards, and the Eagles win the Super Bowl. Derrick Henry goes to his new team, has 1,900 yards, and is the engine that makes that offense go in Baltimore, even though they have a MVP caliber quarterback in Lamar Jackson. And obviously we all know very well that Josh Jacobs was a difference maker for this offense, running for 1,300 plus yards and 15 touchdowns on the season. And so we delve into the idea if the running back is back after being devalued for so many years. But you and I clearly have a difference of opinion here, because they have Josh Jacobs as their starter. They really like Emmanuel Wilson as their two. He's an exclusive rights free agent. I don't think he's signed his tender yet, but they extended the qualifying offer, so he will be back. They really liked what they got out of Chris, now I'm blanking on his last name, Chris Brooks, who they picked up from Miami early in the season. And they are fascinated by what Marshawn Lloyd can do. Now, okay. He played in one game, and he had arguably one of the worst luck seasons, at least in my time covering the team. Comes okay. to camp with a hip injury, pulls his hamstring in a preseason game, gets activated for the Colts game, plays, gets six carries, injures his ankle, lands on injured reserve, gets ready to come off injured reserve. The day he's supposed to come off injured reserve, he started practicing. He has an appendicitis, and his season is over. Yeah, he played one game. He played 10 snaps. But there was a lot of excitement about what the, quote, little rocket in the backfield, per Jordan Love, could bring to the offense. So I would argue that they're probably set there, unless Ashton Jeanty falls to them at 23. You seem to think it's time to invest. Tell me why.
Well, so the Emmanuel Wilson and all of the stuff that all of the guys outside of Josh Jacobs that you mentioned are all potential guys that you hope will go. And obviously they invested in Marshawn Lloyd and are expecting him to be the little rocket and to be a guy that's going to, you know, be able to help supplement. Is question I have for you. Is Josh Jacobs a home run hitter?
Well, maybe if he wasn't getting so many of his yards after contact, he would
just
be.
Just asking a question. Is he a home run hitter?
I'm supposed to say no.
No, say what you want to say. But don't, like,
say what you need to say. Say what you need to say. John Mayer? Yeah, look, he's not a 4-3, 40-yard dash guy, right? He's a bruiser. He's not a home run guy. But okay. In fairness.
So he's a doubles guy.
In
he's
fairness,
a singles and doubles guy.
In fairness, and I think you had this, we had this conversation on this very show, that if things were blocked up a little bit better for him, and we went through the fact that Josh Jacobs had 1,329 rushing yards last season, Saquon Barkley had 1,328 rushing yards last season before contact.
Yeah, that's good.
Woof. Which means he had a really good offensive line, opening some holes for him. Big holes.
That is probably why all of you, Goody's not urgent talk is maybe a little bit, you're short-sighted. Maybe the urgency is that the guys weren't giving Josh Jacobs enough room to actually do his job at a higher level.
That's
but
why they
nobody
signed
wants
Aaron
to look
Banks.
At that because, no oh, doubt. We haven't signed a wideout. We haven't done this. Okay, whatever.
No.
Well, that's... There
my,
can be
my,
urgency.
My issue, no, my issue, again, was him telling everybody else to have urgency and not being able to say, hey, I got to do a better job, too. I got to look under more rocks. That's what I want. Yeah. That's all. Okay. But go ahead.
Yeah, and signing the highest-priced guard isn't showing a sign of urgency when your running back had less yards than Saquon Barkley did before contact. That is an urgency to you, but whatever. Okay, I'm not going to relitigate that.
What are you doing?
So you give me the hand? Is that what you just did? You gave me the hand?
No, I just put my hand up in the air. Josh Jacobs is signed. He signed a 4-year deal. Okay? He was very durable last season. He's going to be on the team this year. He's making one. I'm not even going to ask Jason to do research. He's making $1.17 million in base salary. You know what that number goes to next year?
No, Tausch. Tell me more.
$10.2 million. Now, if he has the kind of year that he had last year, that'll be no problem. They'll restructure it, and it'll be no big deal. Saquon's now making 20. But if somebody falls, or if Green Bay finds someone, I don't think they're going to sleep and just say, we are set at running back. I don't believe that. I think if there is someone that they feel like can be the next guy, a home run hitter, and you're going to invest in all of this offensive line, and you have all of this uncertainty outside of Josh Jacobs, you don't think it's going to be worth a flyer to grab a running back that you get four? And if you so inclined to do, grab an Ashton Jeanty. Not that he's going to fall, but if you think he is a transformational running back, I don't have a problem at all with them going to get him. None. That's what this team wants to do, is run the football and be explosive. I don't think that's going to happen, but I also don't think – don't just sit here and say, well, Josh Jacobs is good for five more years. You know that better than anybody. Eddie Lacy can tell you that story.
Yeah, he's going to be at the draft, so we should have him tell us that story.
Josh Jacobs is here for this year.
I agree.
And nothing else is promised or guaranteed after this year.
All right,
nothing.
So couple things about your contract thing, okay? So first of all, he did have a nearly $6 million roster bonus, which I'm guessing they converted to signing bonus so they could spread it out. But you're right. He's not costing them a fortune. And you said it when they signed him and we heard the details of his contract, right? That it was basically a two-year deal and then we'll see. Which it's starting to look more and more like every free agent signing the Packers do is structured that way. Because I think if you look at
for
Aaron Banks'
reason,
contract, they can get out of that too if they have to after 2 years.
Yeah.
If they want to. The issue that I have with this is where exactly on the space-time continuum of the draft are you saying they... Because, look, we all agree, if Ashton Jeanty is sitting there at 23, you pick him, you make no apologies, and Jordan Love may throw 12 passes a game. I get it. But are you saying that you use
you're
like...
You're really wearing that new look out. That's your new thing, isn't it? Like the
what look?
You got a new.
I didn't know I had a look. No,
it's like
know.
A flummox, like blank eating grin flummox.
Okay. I kind of like a blank eating grin flummox. What I'm saying is that are you going to use a fourth round pick on a running back? Or are you going to use it? Like, what constitutes a bargain running back who falls to you that you would be on board with using a pick on? Because here's what I keep going back.
Second round grade and he's in the early third and you use that for your third round pick on.
Okay, well you used one last year on Marshawn Lloyd who you got nothing out of.
Yeah.
Right? But it's kind of like having a bonus draft pick this year now. Right?
Sure.
You basically get a guy who's part of your new draft class because he didn't really do anything last year.
In fairness, Jason, I don't know how they feel about him. They obviously liked him enough to draft him.
They're intrigued.
So you're the odds would tell you that they're not. I'm saying they should. And unless they think Marshawn Lloyd can be a bell cow home run hitter, I think this little scenario where he's a home run hitter and can sub in and fill in and kind of take some reps off of Jacobs, that'd be great.
Yep.
But you always have to be looking for that next guy.
You're right.
And if you're going to be as run heavy and invest in your offensive line like they have, this is the road they're going. I don't care if they draft the wideout in the first round. They are going tight end, run the football. That is what this offense is going to be in 2025. At least to start. Until otherwise proven, Brian Gutekunst looks at it and saw Philly's blueprint and said, I like that. We're going to run the football more effectively. We're going to be tougher in the middle of our offensive line. We are going to run it. We're going to use our play action pass tight end game. And then we're going to figure out the receiver spot. That's where they're at. And if you're going to do that, you better be barreled up and not just putting all your eggs in the Josh Jacobs basket.
All right. Before we get to Woe Riley, I am still on the Bucks distribution list. I just mentioned the Behind the Bucks Damian Lillard piece on Bucks.com. I don't know that this rises to the level of Riley hit the breaking news sounder, but Bucks PR sending out medical update on Damian Lillard. Milwaukee Bucks guard Damian Lillard has made significant improvement on his deep vein thrombosis in his right calf. He will continue to increase his on-court basketball activity. John Horst says, and I'm quoting, "Damian's most recent weekly scan shows that his injury has significantly improved, which will enable him to move ahead safely with increased basketball activity. Damian's health remains our number one priority. We have followed strict protocols and will continue to do so. We are pleased with the positive news about Damian's progress." Mark Tauscher, NBA analyst.
Yeah.
What does this mean for your hopes and dreams for your Milwaukee Bucks in the postseason?
It's obviously good news, but I will caution, and Lori Nickel, who used to cover the Packers, she is on WTMJ's Morning News earlier. She cautioned and said, if you remember last year, there was a lot of optimism being thrown about Giannis being back.
And then he wasn't back.
And there was never a chance in blank that Giannis was coming
back.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, Ronald Reagan it all you want. I am excited about it. I think it's great news.
Say no
to drugs.
But I'd
like some verification.
Oh, okay.
I'd like some verification as far as what that might look like before I get too excited that Dalla Dame's going to be down at the Indianapolis Market Square Arena or whatever they call that place now.
Brainbridge, something like that?
I don't know.
Seco Fieldhouse.
Firing up three balls on Saturday afternoon at noon. I am not, until I see that, I will be cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. Hopeful.
It's fascinating that they released that at that point because Shams also just came out about 12 minutes ago saying that he will miss the start of the playoffs.
Not great, Bob.
So.
Not great.
It's good advice there. Trust but verify. We trust that Woe Riley will include an update. You just got your Damian Lillard medical update. Riley Yauch's heartbreak update as part of Woe Riley is next. It's Wilde and Tausch. I'm being told that I may have oversold the dire nature of Riley's love life. So let's all find out together what the accurate story is. Time now for Woe Riley.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
Yeah, so I think Jason may have over-dramatized what happened a little bit. So I'm assuming you guys just want a synopsis of what happened and where I'm at right now.
No, correct. I want more details.
Okay. Well, we'll start with the synopsis. So, second date. Told you guys when you were in studio before me and Tausch went and shot our UW Credit Union commercial, our little social media bit, which was awesome. Then that night, go out, get some drinks, have some good conversation. And really, to be honest, that was about it. And it was fine. There was nothing inherently wrong. There were no glaring red flags. It was good. And that's it. But there weren't any super bright green flags, I guess, if you get what I'm saying. Like, it was
sparks,
just fine.
Fireworks.
Yeah, nothing. Like, it was fine.
So are you guys friends? Are you guys going to be friends?
Yeah, I'd say we're still friends right now, but given the distance part of it as well, like, we'll see how well we maintain that friendship.
Weren't you in Milwaukee last night for the Brewers game?
Yeah, well, she doesn't live in Milwaukee. That was just our meeting spot. It was like more of a neutral site game than a road game, a true road game.
Where does she live?
I don't know if I'm at liberty to disclose that information, but in Illinois.
I don't want her specific address.
In Illinois, near Chicago.
Okay. Did she hear
near Rockford by the Great Casino?
Yeah. That would have been date number three.
Did she ever hear the discussion of your dates and the debit card snafu and everything else? Did she ever hear that in podcast form?
I don't believe she heard our discussion, but I did tell her about it, and she thought.
Did you think that helped or hurt your cause?
Probably helped. She seemed to think that was pretty funny, but okay. I don't know. I don't know.
And do you think is there a chance? There's that old movie, very old now. She's just not that into you. Is it possible?
Potentially.
That she's into you, but you're not that into her. And this is what I do. I ask tough questions, so not a lot of follow-up questions, but occasionally tough questions.
Yeah, no, I think that's very fair. I think that is possible. I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but that has happened. So it's possible. I can't confirm or deny her interest level, but maybe. I feel like you have thoughts, Jason.
Well, I had higher hopes for this.
Yeah, sorry.
We'll have to go to your Brewers game experience instead. Whoa, Riley!
All right, yeah. I did tell my friend that this was coming yesterday. So we're sitting in the second level of the bleachers, and Sal Frelick is tossing balls up after warming up every inning. It's going well. We almost got a ball in the second inning. Top of the second.
Is he playing catch with you, or is he throwing extra balls into the crowd?
After he's done warming up with Garrett Mitchell in center field, he'll take the ball and throw it to a fan in the bleachers.
Okay.
So these are his warm-up balls. He's chucking them after he's done warming up. And we almost get one in the second. Then after that, he's kind of throwing them every which way, and we're not even close. But then, I kid you not, top of the ninth, Sal Frelick, last chance. The Brewers are down 9-1. We're not getting another crack. He looks dead set right at us, lobs it up, and halfway up, I can see the trajectory of the ball is heading right to my friend to the left of me. Halfway up, I'm like, that's you. And
his name is what?
His name is Joe. My friend Joe in Milwaukee.
Up north Joe?
No, not up north Joe. Joe in Milwaukee.
Tier one guy or tier two?
Yeah, he's a tier one guy. He's a tier one guy.
Okay. Bobble Joe.
Former Badger All-Conference left tackle, Joe. Check him out back in 2020.
And they need a left tackle right now. They do.
He said he might see if this old pony has one more trick up his sleeve. Go talk to Coach Fickell. But anyways, the ball's coming straight for my friend Joe. His left hand, it's slicing right into his left hand. He tries to do the ole and kind of soften the blow. It hits him right in the palm. And he drops it. And it rolls to the people behind us. And we never see that ball again. Outside of when the old man who grabbed it was like smiling and flexing that he has a baseball now. So I'm wondering, like, is there a worse feeling?
How old is the old man?
He had to be in his 70s. He had white hair.
Okay, good.
He had white hair.
Just want to make sure how you define that.
Not trying to be disrespectful here.
To your elders.
Yes, exactly. So outside of the actual play on the field and the result of the game, I feel like that's got to be one of the worst feelings as
a
fan.
All right, so you are a college graduate.
Yes.
You're a young adult.
Yes.
What is the protocol at a baseball game when, say, let's say Sal Frelick throws it to you and you catch it cleanly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And there is a youngster, a young Riley Yauch-esque fellow. Yeah, let's say he's about 12.
Okay.
What is your responsibility as now a grown man? What are you supposed to do with that ball?
See, I believe now as a grown man, a grown adult, My duty is to catch the ball and then hand it to the nearest child. I don't care. I don't need a Major League Baseball to put in a glass case or anything like that in my house. But I want the satisfaction of catching it. I want to catch
the experience.
What if it's Churio's first home run? I know he's had home run. Well, what if it's his first home run and there's little dollars to it?
See, now we're getting into the weeds a little bit. I might pocket that, have another ball in the pocket, and give that to the kid instead.
Well, wait, you're just bringing a ball. No. You're bringing a ball to the stadium
to give
away.
You ain't thinking that far ahead. What are you talking about?
If it's like a history-making ball, I'm taking off with that ball, and I'm going to the nearest guest services person and negotiating a deal. We're figuring it out. But if it's a regular ball, like if it's Sal Frelick's warm-up ball, I'm catching it, be like, hey, I caught it, and then give it to the youngster in front of me.
Okay. Sure. Average foul ball you're giving to the kid.
Yep. Yeah. I don't need a foul ball.
And none of these balls you're actually keeping, because now you've basically admitted that you're just looking to parlay a significant ball into some sort of payday or barter.
What do you think? It's one in 25,000 balls is going to be significant.
Yeah.
At a game.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Yeah. So.
So what was Joe going to do if he caught the ball?
I believe there were some children like in eyesight. Like we had eyes on some kids generally around us, but I'm not sure. We guess we'll
never
know.
What kind of guy is Joe? He's a ball keeper, I think. Yeah,
potentially. Joe's a great guy. I believe that ultimately he would have done the right thing, but you got to catch the ball to do the right thing, and he was kicking himself. Exactly. He was kicking himself, and I'm not going to let him forget that he dropped it. So.
I kept waiting for Tosh to have an opinion on that, but he didn't. Whoa, Nelly!
All right.
Whoa, Nelly!
So, going to sports, outside of my experience at sporting events, according to Adam Schefter, Max Crosby is being named the assistant general manager for football at Eastern Michigan University. He will now help, this is in quotes, he will now help Eastern Michigan evaluate high school and portal prospects, manage its NIL budget, and also serve as special assistant to the AD on fundraising, alumni relations, and student athlete support. What do you guys make of this, given that he is still in the league and an active player during the college football season?
Yeah, it shows you and tells you how wrong and how bad everything is. He should be a honored alum. He should, if he wants to donate some money back, great. The fact that he's going to evaluate talent and that he's going to be out fundraising and he's doing all that, it just tells you the system is badly broken and it needs to be repaired in a big way. And hopefully this settlement and how this all shakes out will help with that. I'm all for having him as an ambassador to Eastern Michigan. I think that's great. I think like Steph Curry doing that at David, that's great.
Right.
But if you're actually going to give some type of job requirement within that, being an NFL football player is a job. And when you're going to be evaluating doing all that, so you got other stuff, I am not a fan.
Do you believe?
Not at all.
I saw this story too. Do you believe he'll actually be doing these, or is this a
I have no idea
publicity honorarium type deal? That's what I want.
Symbolic.
Good word.
I have no clue, but I think he should be available to the coaches when they have recruits and they want him to talk. But if you think that Max Crosby's like, all right, I'm going to head over to Eastland or wherever Eastern Michigan is and sit down and start busting down film and saying, I think you got to get this kid from Western Kennesaw State. I don't think that's good use of your time. I just don't.
How'd you get to Western Kennesaw State? I'm intrigued by that one.
Go Owls.
I don't know.
I would like to know how seriously this job will be, the job description will be followed. I find it hard to believe. I am a skeptic. I feel like this is here's a prominent alumnus. We want people to think that he's involved in the program. We want him to, do some chats. I mean, look, Tausch, you're a successful former NFL player. The Badger Athletics is smart to have you connected to their program. They have lots of yous, though, right? A lot of NFL players have come through the Wisconsin program. Not as much Eastern Michigan, right? I mean, T.J. Lang, a few others,
Barry
certainly.
Stokes.
Yeah. So there's been some. There are some. But I read this as, hey, here's our chance to pub up the fact that Max Crosby's from our school. We're going to give him this assistant to the traveling secretary title, and it'll get attention, and Adam Schefter will tweet it out. But we're not going to actually make him go through the list of players in the portal and suggest who we should bring in. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
That'd be fascinating.
Love Joe Thomas once suggested they should make Aaron Rodgers the assistant GM in Green Bay. That never came to fruition, but this might have as much pull. All right, that's it for Woe Riley.
Sorry, Jason, not to cut you off, but I do want to, for Geriad, he asked in the YouTube comments, how'd the stolen card funds pan out? I was refunded. Just wanted to let you know, Geriad, I got my money back, all of it, so...
And now
huge.
You're leaving that. leaving that financial institution to join UW Credit Union.
Oh yeah, that's how it's going.
Can't wait for updates on that and future dates for Woe Riley. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't.
We're almost out of time, but I wanted to circle back to where we began, which was with the wired versus Bluetooth headphones.
Great that topic, poll. Jason.
Thanks.
Great
a
job.
Well, I tested it out first on Jet Gabe and Chewy, and they polled it. 492 votes. What type of headphones do you use, wired or Bluetooth? I, of course, voted wired because I'm the one who caused this to be a poll. 82.8% of you are AirPods, cordless, wireless headphones. 17.2% of you still in the dark ages. But you won't need either kind if you go to Tausch's No Phone game at Lambeau Field. On a scale of 1 to 100, what are the odds of this ever actually happening at an NFL game? 0.0001% or is it better than that?
No, I think it's better than that. Listen, man, I think if some team is smart, you're always looking to draw attention and find different ways to entertain fans. There will be pushback, no doubt. But whomever does this first will be roundly applauded by its fans and by, I think, a league looking to do some things differently. So I would doubt that it's going to happen anytime soon, but I think the momentum is hot from what we saw at the Masters. I hope the Green Bay Packers would take a shot at it.
We will have to wait and see if anyone takes Tausch's advice. My advice to you, tune in again tomorrow. We'll have Brian Bulaga, Uncle Homer, everybody you're looking for. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.